Hare Krishna. Dhanadhar Swami, I'm unexpectedly exactly on time.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
All right, Henry, I'll tell you what verse we're going to do. Then I'll chant the verse. I'll read the purport. That'll give other people time to get on. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, Text 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dejidro Niraham Stambo Mukta Sarva Madar Iha Kritsham Yadrich Shayapnoti Kritsham Yadrich Shayapnoti. A poverty-stricken man must automatically undergo austerities and penances. Okay, and 732-616 has to mute their phone too. A poverty-stricken man must automatically undergo austerities and penances because he does not have the wealth to possess anything. Thus, his false prestige is vanquished. Always in need of food, shelter, and clothing, he must be satisfied with what is obtained by the mercy of Providence. Undergoing such compulsory austerities is good for him because this purifies him and completely frees him from false prestige. Purport: a saintly person voluntarily accepts a state of poverty just to become free from material false prestige. Many great kings left their princely standard of living and went to the forest to practice austerity according to the Vedic culture, just to become purified. But if one who cannot voluntarily accept such austerity is put in a situation of poverty, he automatically must practice austerity. Austerity is good for everyone because it frees one from material conditions. Therefore, if one is very much proud of his material position, putting him into poverty is the best way to rectify his foolishness. Daridra dosho guna rashi nashi. When a person is poverty stricken, naturally his false pride and aristocracy, wealth, education, and beauty is smashed. Thus corrected, he is in the right position for liberation. Omigana timarandasya gananjana shalakaya taksurun mulitam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanyamano bhistam stapitam yena bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One good thing about this Zoom, I can see who's not muting their phone. So someone just came on with a 1347 number. So if you can mute your phone. Okay. Okay, just yesterday, I'm up here in Visant Falls, Stuyvesant Falls, and I hope to spend a lot of the summer up here. In fact, this morning, I'll be going to the house of John and Katie, who are on Monday morning greetings. And I'm going to inaugurate my Rasa Japa program here. I'm going to do one in Jersey every month. I'll do that at Kadamba Mala's. Next at the end of April, and then I'll inaugurate one at Ruti Krishna's, Kaveri's place, at in the beginning of May. And what Rasa Japa is basically, the concept is chanting is not just the syllables, it's the heart. So it's nice to have a program where you nourish the heart and then chant. And nourish the heart by hearing the Bhagavatam, by chanting bhajans, etc. And then chant japa as I guide a meditation. I did that already in New Jersey, and it's quite nice. Just to, because everything is based on faith, and faith is based on experience. So if you can give people a good experience, that'll help their determination in Krishna consciousness. At least that's my idea. Anyway, I went to Connecticut, about 2 hours drive yesterday, near the University of Connecticut, and Lisa Marchand, very dynamic. She's been around for a long, long time. Now she's aspiring for initiation. She started her own bhakti center. And it's not like the bhakti center, but it is in a kind of a small up and coming town, kind of a little rundown previously, but in a quite a good location with plenty of parking and a place about 1500 square feet. She started Bhakti Center Connecticut, and it's very, very tastefully done. You come in and there's a counter and a waiting room. Beautifully done. Everything is done really nicely. A little consultation room to the side because she's studying Ayurveda. And then a very, very big hall. And then with two very, very clean bathrooms at the end, and just very nicely done. And a very practical program of maintaining it. If teachers want to use the space, they have to pay $108 a month. So she has a cooperative where different teachers rent out the place, which pays for the rent. And then if people join her cooperative, they get to take those classes for free, and then there's some other arrangement, but it was nice. So small program, but people are coming. Some people are becoming devotees. So Prativiti Yati Achi Nagarati Gram, that my name will be spread in every town and village. And that's actually the theme of my Monday morning greetings, which will come out tomorrow. Seeing up here how many people are becoming Krishna conscious and reflecting, when Prabhupada first went to Gainesville, he thought it was the end of the world, and so many devotees, so many young, enthusiastic people, 1970, came to greet him, and he said, in this remote corner of the world. So by Prabhupada's mercy, the prediction of Lord Chaitanya that his name would be spread in every town and village is being fulfilled. So I thought that's really nice. And now I'll be going to New York and then Columbia, New York tomorrow and then Columbia on Wednesday. Now, what I'm going to do in the Monday morning greetings is my sadhana, my practice is, I get up quite early, and that gives me time to write. And then before I chant my japa, I read a half hour of the Bhagavatam. This really seems to have caught on. this really seems to have caught on, just reading Prabhupada's books and getting his direct association. So I'm inspired, and I do take quick notes on my iPad. So what I'm going to do, I think, is where I'm reading, I'll discuss something. And I'm in the 10th canto now, and we're studying the story of Nalakuvara and Managriva. So they're the sons of Kuvera, and they're born into incredible wealth. Now, it's a very, very subtle point. There's nothing, you know, in the philosophy of Krishna, and here it's described, you know, when they're being cursed, right? Actually what happens is due to that control, their false ego increases. And the false ego is the sense of superiority that makes you feel that you're enjoying and controlling. And obviously, when you get the accoutrements of power, there's a good possibility that that could happen. Because Janma, aristocratic verse, Aishwarya, opulence, Shruta, education, Shribir, aristocracy and beauty give one the ability to control. So without a firm spiritual basis, these things can give you the illusion that you are, and you can become attached to that. And that is specifically the consciousness, that brings you away from God. So this is an example where that happens. It's not an absolute principle that when God is merciful to you, he takes away all your wealth. It means when God is merciful to you, he does whatever is needed to bring you back to Krishna. He didn't take away Ambarish, my godbrother's wealth, and he, look how he's using it to build Krishna's, and still remains so humble. If you ever met him, he's such a humble gentleman. So that's not the absolute principle. But we have to be aware of the dynamic. Because you also know, Shuchinam Srimatam Gehe, Yoga Brashta Bajayate, that a fallen yogi, Shuchinam Srimatam, he can be born in aristocracy, Srimatam, Suchinam, or educated family, where there is also opportunity to pursue spiritual life without distraction. That's also the possibility. And then on the other hand, poverty, here it's actually Prabhupada talks, come to the platform of devotional service by poverty. Come to the platform of devotional service by poverty. But also, we also know that poverty ruins all good qualities. So when you read Shastra, this is very important. When you read Shastra, you have to understand the context in which the points are made and extract it. Otherwise, you will find contradictions, like poverty destroys all good qualities, and you come to the platform of devotional service by poverty. So, but anyway, this story is instructive about what the accoutrements of power can do to your consciousness, and what God can do to the to your accoutrements of power by taking them away to help your consciousness. Prabhupada talks about them of material protective agents. It's just like household life. I discussed this many times. It was kind of revelatory because, you know, it can be condemned or it can be praised at the same time. It's something that's recommended for someone. And then at the same time, it may be recommended. At the same time, it's recommended. It can be condemned. So from this platform of condemnation in terms of household life, it's the tendency, or it can be the tendency, to look at your house as your eternal abode and your family as your eternal relationships. And it can be praised because it puts you in a situation where you can understand that the world is not just about you. So there's always, everything depends on utility in Krishna consciousness. So we should know the utility of something. It's just like a knife. You know, a knife is dangerous, a knife is a weapon, a knife is a utility, a knife can be used. So the real point is to understand the utility of things and to also understand the risks involved in dealing with material things. So that one can, as Prabhupada said, the Krishna consciousness is like a razor's edge. That's such a nice example, isn't it? A razor's edge. Razor's edge means you're shaving. And it, you know, it can give you a good shave if it's very, very sharp. But if you're not careful, it can cut you. So we have to be very, very careful. You know, in the world, we need to get married. And we need that situation for our Krishna consciousness. But we have to be very, very careful. We may need a career for our Krishna, and crew economic development. But we have to be very, very careful. So here and this is a very, very important point, our relationship with wealth and the effect of poverty. One has to be thoughtful. So here in the story, because this is the story of the Damodar Leela. Narada Muni is a great saint, and he's walking in the Nandanandana kind of garden, some heavenly, the abode of Kuvera. Kuvera is the treasurer of the demigods, the abode of wealth. Obviously, his sons born into that situation are also, and they become bewildered. They become bewildered. They get into the vision. They become bewildered. They become attached and attached and attached and attached and attached and increasingly attached. That's why you see these very, very wealthy people, extremely the billionaires, there's always some sex scandal. Because They get control. And Prabhupada's actually, he's going to discuss this, how, you know, economic development, you have to be even very, very careful in a society with economic development, because it can lead to degradation. When there's too much or the wrong type of economic development, then people use the money. Someone just came on. They have to mute their phone. 156. That's the area code, 1556 something. Hare Krishna. Okay. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay. Okay, I'm still on. So you have to be very, very careful because there's actually a vicious cycle. If you take more than you need, it increases your attachment so that even though you get more, your need or want, your pain of not having remains the same. And it's a vicious cycle. You get more, you want more, you get more, you want more. It's a vicious cycle. And I just classic example, just for $100, you can get economy plus on Aeroflot. For someone like me, that's like, business class. But I can see now I'm attached to that. it's the material world. Therefore, our philosophy is kamesan indriya pritir labho jivete yavita. Kamesan indriya pritir labho jivete. You take what you need. The objective of sense gratification is not the gratification of the senses. It's the satisfaction of the mind. The senses are pleased, but not for the pleasure of the senses. That's not the purpose of sense gratification. It's for the satisfaction of the mind. And therefore, when it's for the satisfaction of the mind, you take what you need for the satisfaction of the mind. And when you take more than you need than the satisfaction of the mind, you increase your attachment. And therefore, do not satisfy the mind. So Narada Muni comes and Managriva and Nalakuvara, they're naked. They're with society girls. And when Narada Muni comes, they don't cover themselves. They became so blinded. They became so blinded. No principles, no culture. I gave a lecture yesterday. The lecture was on forgiveness. And I was talking about how overcoming justified hate, and my basic principle was in terms of yoga. What yoga is the mind is clear and the shadows of resentment. The first principle, of course, is ahimsa. Yoga means controlling the mind. The first principle of controlling the mind is controlling the mind in relationship to others. And the first principle of that is ahimsa, which is described by commentators in the Yoga Sutras as like a big elephant's footprint, that every other principle fits within that because, and actually it supersedes other principles. For example, truthfulness is also one of the yamas, a principle of how you deal with others. But ahimsa takes precedence. Because if you telling the truth will harm someone else, then it's more the principle of not harm is more important than the principle of truth. And we can see that if someone's coming and you have to hide someone from someone else who wants to abuse them, you can lie about it. So the point I was making is what a relevant topic is because the society is so exploitive. and there's no principles. Tom Wolfe, the famous satirist, he wrote an article called The Me Generation. My parents' generation was the great, they call it the great generation. And it actually was, compared to my generation of hippies. It was. You know, people had to go to war to defend freedom against the Nazis. People had to make, you know, the great sacrifices. They say, you know, when I walk in New York City and I go by the firehouses and they have those plaques of people who died, you know, in 9/11, I bow my head. I bow my head to those people who ran up the stairs. It says, who made the supreme sacrifice. My generation was called the me generation. And so much self-development, self-improvement, self this, self that. Okay, that's good, but not to become self-absorbed. And therefore you can't understand any principle. As Tom Wolfe said, they don't understand duty above self. So therefore, people can't understand what's wrong about going naked in public. And this principle of freedom without consideration. There's freedom. Freedom becomes a principle. Without principle or consideration. And it's degrading. And a cultured society is filled with the principle of consideration for others. So public nudity. Because we are, sex desire is the basic principle. People have some consideration for a healthy consciousness in society. Reasonably within the culture, within the circumstance. So here, Montegriva and Kulavar and Montegriva, they were naked and didn't even have the concern that it was a saintly person. Not even consideration for a saintly person. But the saintly person, Narada, was compassionate. And therefore, he will now curse them. And he's explaining now, I think actually I'm at the point where actually they were cursed. And it actually, I'm not sure, I think it turned, I'm not sure which part I'm up to now, but was cursed, and he's explaining how it's a benediction. Janmaish, Queen Kunti's prayers, Janmaishvarya Shruta Shri Bir Edamana Madapunam Navahitabutaitumvai Twam Akinchina Gotra. Krishna becomes favored to one who is not intoxicated with ego, who has that natural humility. You know, sometimes, you know, I'm upstate and it's maybe a bad example, but the exterminator came and he wasn't the one that usually comes. He set some kind of mouse trap here in the barn and he came to the door and I came in my robes and I just felt, you know, a simple person and just has, they have natural humility. They don't have what to be proud of. We know, we look at the example, the classic example that Krishna was more favorable and more protective to Queen Kunti than his own mother, Devaki. And the reason is because Queen Kunti did not have a husband and was more dependent. So that consciousness, and it's not only, you know, it's also a consciousness that's real. It's our position of love is one of dependence. It's not of God. It's not of controller. It's child to mother. That's our relationship with God. It is one of dependence, and it's very sweet, and it's very beautiful. And Krishna wants to give us that consciousness, because that consciousness is commensurate or equal with our actual nature as part of God, meant for God's service. It's reality. Reality is beautiful. I give this example many times, but I think it's appropriate. If there's a symphony orchestra, the beauty is in humility. The beauty is not standing out, but contributing to something greater than yourself. So this material prestige, and therefore Prabhupada also talks about a saintly person and accepting a simple life. You know, the Bhagavatam is very powerful. When I'm reading these purports, I'm reflecting on my own life, you know, my duty as a sannyasi and I'm guru, and you get disciples and you get things and I have places, and I'm trying to be practical, use things in Krishna's service, but I have to be on guard. I have to be on guard for my own spiritual life and for the service I do. I think my favorite example of renunciation is Jayadvaita Swami. You know, I visited him in the Brooklyn Temple, you know, when I was there. And, you know, he had a roommate. He shared a room. And completely detached. Completely detached. And he has so little demand on the environment beyond his health. And it's inspiring. That's why I'm going to, okay, why sannyas? It's a really tricky thing in an institution, because they become institutional heads. But you know, and for service, they have to accept the, you know, some position, some. I think Radhanath Swami, I think Anirjan Swami mentioned his power. You know, was living in the Bhakti Center, sharing the bathroom, lives in the Brahmachari Ashram in Chopati, same bathroom, maybe they give him a little cupboard now. Comes to Vrindavan, stays with the people in Fogal Ashram, not something very special. Sadhu, and what that does, it inspires the society in the right direction. And I love the balance in a Van Ashram society. If you want to have all the power, then you have to be number two. You have to be under the people who are renounced from power. And if you want to be number one, then you have to be renounced from power and live simply. And what that does, it sets the example for society to appropriately move towards renunciation. For tapo divyam yena kaputra sattvam shudyed yasmad brahmasokyam tunantam. For divine austerity, for becoming content, fulfilled. I'm giving a lecture in I go to Columbia to three keys to inner fulfillment. But what is fulfillment? The word contentment. It's what's inside, what your content is, not what's outside. Fulfillment. It's what you are filled with, not what you're surrounded with. It goes right to the heart. So there's a certain contentment when your consciousness is focused on that and not drawn external. That's why vairagya means without detachment, basically means to revert the consciousness from always going outside in relationships to objects for exploitation and moving it inside to reflect on the consciousness and the heart. So a saintly person, he voluntarily accepts this. And you can see you can see it's a tension in society and even a burden on society if those that are in the renounced order are also the people who are kingly. It creates a false narrative and a false impetus for the society. It increases the level of need or desire that everyone has. We actually need real renunciates. Real renunciates that are happy in their renunciation. So Prabhupada discussed a saintly person accepts this, and even in society, in the Von Ashram society, everyone eventually accepts that. And to become free from material conditions. And if one becomes proud of his material position, it's very hard to be proud in the Kali Yuga in any situation, my God. Then Krishna puts one in a poverty-stricken condition where his false pride and aristocracy, education, beauty is smashed. You've heard my lectures, most of you, but certain things come up. I'm just remembering, I don't know, when I was young and I was in the kitchen and my mother was watching a television show called The Tales of Shalom Aleichem. And it really struck me to the fact that I remember this. I remember this, you know, over 60 years later or something. It just struck me. It was about an old Jewish guy who would go to the synagogue and was very simple and led a very poor life, but with devotion to God. And then when he goes up to heaven, God comes out and is so pleased with him. He says, you can have whatever you want. And he asked for just a roll and butter. His demands were so less. And I think Eric Fromm, forgot what book it was, the German sociologist, talked about not free. He said, there's freedom to, but there's freedom from. You can have freedom to do everything in the world, but you're not free from the burden of so many desires in your heart. And you may be restricted and poverty stricken that you don't have much accoutrements of power to control the world around you. But you won't have freedom from. So we'll do one more verse. Always hungry, longing for sufficient food, a poverty-stricken man gradually becomes weaker and weaker. Having no extra potency, his senses are automatically pacified. A poverty-stricken man, therefore, is unable to perform harmful, envious activities. In other words, such a man automatically gains the results of the austerity and penances adopted voluntarily by saintly persons. Prabhupada also said, he said he once saw a hobo on the by the train in Calcutta, which basically meant they had a little stick and their possessions were on back of the stick. But Prabhupada said that person wasn't a kinchana gotra of the class of people who a kinchana, they have no want, because he was very, very attached. Narayan Maharaj once told me that when Prabhupada stayed in the Keshavaji Gaudiya Math. Prabhupada stayed in the Keshavaji Gaudiya Math, and Narayan Maharaj would come to see him and sit on Prabhupada's bed, respecting him as the godbrother of his guru. He said Prabhupada's quilt was so torn that Narayan Maharaj would have to take off his uttariya, the top piece of this, and put it on the bed. He said, but Prabhupada, one of his Prabhupada's favorite talks was about the Pandavas, who, although they owned the whole world, they were emperors of the world, they were a kinchana gotra. So it's not just a question of what you possess. It's the consciousness in which you look for it. And that's the symptom of bhav. One of the symptoms, the nine symptoms of bhav, is viraktir. And what does viraktir mean? Indifferent, not just attached. Because you can be aloof from the objects of the senses, but attached to them. But actually indifferent. Indifferent. But anyway, here, in the proper consciousness, Krishna is helping these people who have some pedigree, being connected with Kavera, who's a great devotee, as their son, but if somehow became bewildered, he cursed them to become trees for hundreds of thousands of years. They learn their lesson. The poverty-stricken man becomes weaker and weaker. His senses don't have that potency. I'm trying to think of in India sometimes when you see poor, humble people. Poor, humble people. And I've seen that even in preaching Krishna consciousness. Sometimes people have just enough to live, but they're spiritually conscious. And they really don't have the means to agitate their senses in so many ways. They just have the means basically to take what they need. And it can create a very beautiful consciousness of humility, which attracts the heart of Guru and Krishna. Humility and dependence attracts the hearts of saintly people strongly. One who is merciful and kind will be very much powerfully affected in the heart by one in need. And this basically is probably the key to Krishna consciousness, even the key to our chanting, this feeling of need. This feeling of need and attracting that kindness and mercy. We advance by the reciprocation. So the purport, According to the opinion of experienced medical practitioners, diabetes is a result of voracious eating, and tuberculosis is a disease of undereating. We should desire neither to be diabetic nor to be tubercular. Yavad artha prayojanam. We should eat frugally and keep the body fit for advancing in Krishna consciousness, as recommended elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.10, kamesinendriya pritir, labo jivete yavata, jivasya tatva jigyasa, narto yas cheha karmabhi. The real business of human life is to keep oneself fit for advancement in spiritual realization. Human life is not meant for making the senses unnecessarily strong so that one suffers from disease and one increases in an envious fighting spirit. In this age of Kali, however, human civilization is so misled that people are unnecessarily increasing in economic development. And as a result, they are opening more and more slaughterhouses, liquor shops, and brothels. In this way, the whole civilization is being spoiled. So, result, unnecessarily increasing economic development. And what's done with the money? More slaughterhouses, liquor shops, and brothels. Civilization is being spoiled. You know, I read this and I underline these things because, you know, I have a good karma in terms of my digestion. But I read this, you know, sadhu has to eat frugally. We should take what we need. We should eat frugally and keep the body fit for advancing in Krishna consciousness. I said, that's something I have to practice, actually. I'll read one more verse. Saintly persons may freely associate with those who are poverty-stricken, but not with those who are rich. A poverty-stricken man, by association with saintly persons, becomes very uninterested in material desires and the dirty things when the core of his heart are cleansed away. So let me finish with Prabhupada's purport, which seems to be, I wouldn't call it a fad, but a healthy development in Krishna consciousness movement, just reading and hearing. It is said, Mahad Vichalanam Nirnam, Grihinam Dina Chaitasam, Bhagavatam 10.8.4. The only business of a saintly person or sannyasi, a person in the renounced order, is to preach Krishna consciousness. Sadhus, saintly person, want to preach both to the poor and the rich, but the poor take more advantage of the sadhus preaching than the rich do. A poor man receives sadhus very quickly, offers them obeisances, and tries to take advantage of their presence. Where a rich man keeps a big greyhound dog at his door so that no one can enter. He posts a sign saying, beware of dog, and avoids the association of saintly persons. Whereas a poor man keeps his door open for them and thus benefits by the association more than a rich man does. Because Narada Muni in his previous life was poverty-stricken, son of a maidservant. He got the association of saintly persons and later became the exalted Narada Muni. This was his actual experience. Therefore, he is now comparing the position of a poor man with that of a rich man. So actually, Narada is speaking from his own experience because he saw how he attracted mercy because the saintly people were Dina Vatsala. They were very kind to the poor. And it just doesn't mean in money. But in Narada's case, it meant that because he didn't even know who his father was, he was very humble and dependent. Are there any questions? Okay, would anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Just a tiny thing. What is meant by those society girls? You know, Kuvera's sons were flirting around with them. What are society girls?
I would just say in that culture, you know, girls that are just hanging around without being married and chaste and things like that. That's what I would say. Otherwise, what are they doing naked with Kuveri? Basically prostitutes in that culture.
Okay.
Okay, good. Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Gumaraj. This is Kishori Radha.
And Toto Gopina.
No Priya?
We're actually, Toto's working this weekend in Poughkeepsie, New York. So Priya's at home with her dad and Jaya.
Oh, they must be listening then. Okay.
Most likely.
Okay, Hari Bo.
Hari Krishna.
Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hari Krishna Gumaraj. This is Lee.
And Bri. Hari Krishna.
Thank you, Lee and Bri. It's great. Greg is here. Okay. Some other people?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Tatiana.
Tatiana? Hare Krishna?
Yes.
Good. Thank you. Good to hear your voice. And who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi.
It's who?
Regandarvika.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Good.
Hi, it's Betty. Hare Krishna.
Who is it?
Betty.
Betty, thank you. Great. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, the Gordon Bhaktula.
Over on, Hare Krishna. We'll see you also in April at your house. I'm looking forward. Okay, who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Priya.
Priya, I knew you would be on. Thank you. Very good. Anybody else? Okay, we'll end for today then. Thank you all so much.